Welcome back to Greg in the Morning Buzz.
Live all across New England, all over the world, on iHeartRadio. So this is it.
This is it.
This is it.
The moment I've been waiting for after a lot of figuring schedules out and trying to make this happen. Our surprise guest is on the phone. One clue, very punctual.
Yeah,
right on time.
Very punctual, yeah.
Yes. Now,
impressive.
You guys can feel free to ask the surprise guest any questions that you may have and try to figure out who it is.
So the surprise guest on the phone, are you there? Can you hear me?
I'm here.
I'm trying to go by the voice. I'm going to go right in with this.
Why don't you ask a question?
Okay. Are you in the, this is like what's my line, right? Or something like that. You're the mystery guy. Are you in the entertainment field?
I am.
You are.
Excellent.
Television.
In fact, you just talked about Wilson.
Yes.
And I've actually held Wilson. And I was at a party with Tom Hanks and his wife, Rita, and a woman came up to us and said, I'm so excited, I just bought Wilson at a charity event for $250,000. And she left, and Tom said, that was a different Wilson. We have the real Wilson.
Wow. I know what this is.
You know, I have to make this happen because obviously you can't.
I swear to God, I'm going to cry.
I know you are.
I'm going to cry. This is Dan Brown.
It is Dan Brown.
This is Dan Brown.
I hope you guys aren't disappointed.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh.
You know, you were expecting Trump or OJ or Allen.
No.
The father of dragons.
No.
It's just me.
Dan, now I'm going to tell Greg a little bit of a backstory of what's been going on. Now, we've been trying to plan this, and because of, you know, the new book and release and all this, we've had to try to accommodate dates and times.
It's
now,
Dan Brown!
two weeks ago, Greg looks at me after the show, and he goes, you know what? I did it. I had to try to book Dan Brown. I know we haven't had him on for an interview and haven't had the opportunity, but I emailed his people, and I'm hoping it can happen.
Yeah.
Right away, when you said that, I emailed
my assistant Susan.
And I said, Susan, Greg just sent an email. Decline any requests he has to have Dan on the show because I didn't want to ruin my surprise.
you bitch. No, it's Dan. Great to finally talk to you. And I've joked around about it forever. You know I'm a longtime fan, so this is a big thing. Dan is a great author. I love his book. He's got a new book coming out called Origin, and
this week, right?
Yeah, it comes out in a few days.
I'm so thrilled, and when I wrote Susan, I'm like, look, maybe he just doesn't like me. I don't know.
You know what? Greg, you know what? Yeah. You know, we've talked at the UNH hockey game.
We have.
I see you around.
Right.
And I always say to my publicist in New York, hey, you know what? I love their show. I grew up listening to WHEB, but of course that was in the days of, you know, REO Speedwagon,
right,
and Tom Bergeron. But I say I should do this. My publicist says, look, you know, it's just not the kind of program, you know.
Right.
It's not really a literature program.
Yes.
But today, of course, you know, with the passing of Hugh Hefner, you guys have been talking literature all morning.
So. Yeah, that's true. Well, but see, I get that. And I know, and we've, like I said, we've talked about it. But, you know,
I tried to keep the show classy so you would call
right.
in.
but, you know, and I also got that, you know, back in, you know, when the Da Vinci Code came out, you know, there was controversy surrounding the book, and controversy that fueled itself, that you didn't need to do anything, and it was a smart move to just, you know, that what a great book it was and what a great conversation it started. So I totally get it. But are you excited on the cusp of the new book Origin coming out? You got to be excited.
Yeah, I really am. This, you know, this book will be, I mean, people use the word controversial. I don't think of these things as controversial. They spark dialogue.
Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
What amazes me as a reader is the amount of research you do before any book, and it's a novel. So he takes, you know, the character Robert Langdon, or he takes the character and weaves it through so much history. That's why it seems to take a while between books, right? Because you really, even the smallest minutiae, becomes key to the story.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's so fun to write these books because I do make research a big part of it, and I travel a lot. I love art. I love architecture.
Yeah.
Love history, and I sort of, you know, for this book, I was in Spain quite a bit, and what's not to love about that?
Can you give me a little bit of background and maybe what the book is, what the plot of the story is, a little bit of a
tease? Yeah, I mean, in very general terms, this is a book that asks a very fundamental question, which is, will God survive technology? Will God survive science?
Right.
And, you know, historically, gods have not survived science. You know, yep. There was a day when we thought that the shifting of the tides was Poseidon.
Right.
And then we, you know, science taught us about gravity and the moon and all that, and we realized that Poseidon was not the actual god. And that's, and so that happens historically. So the question is, what's happening now? How is technology affecting the gods today? And, you know, it's a thriller. It's you know, it's Langdon running around in Spain.
Right.
In some crazy locations. And, you know, it was a fun book to write.
Thriller. Heck, this is a thriller. I'm legitimately thrilled. And I'm I am. And a little angry that Laura did it. but that's cool. But Dan Brown is on with us. He has a brand new book, Origin, coming out. So, Kelly Brown.
Dan, before you became a novelist, how serious were your aspirations for a music career?
You know what? My aspirations were serious. My talent was less serious, apparently. You know, it's funny because I grew up listening to music constantly. I loved music. It was a big part of my life. My mom was a professional musician, and I was a songwriter. I went out to L.A. and you know, sold a few songs that you never heard. But you know, met guys like Jim Steinman and Steven Tyler and just sort of a lot of my early you know, stars.
Mm-hmm. I have to, you know, when I just the other day, Angels and Demons was on. The, you know, Tom is in it.
Yeah.
And I always wonder. So I'm sure you were on the set a few days during filming. I would imagine, right? You must have, right?
Sure. Well, I was there quite a bit.
So when you're watching the thing unfold, I always wonder how, you know, the images and the action that takes place matches what you had in your head, Dan, when you wrote it. How close?
Yeah, it's surreal. I mean, because you know, you write these scenes in your imagination, and they are exactly how you picture them. And the great thing about books is that we all picture it a different way.
Right.
So I have a specific image of Langdon, and I'll never forget. I've never been on a movie set. I was a writer, and my first movie set that I was ever on was the Louvre in Paris.
Right.
So we're in the Louvre. It's 2:00 in the morning. We have to film in the middle of the night because the tourists leave at around 7 and they come back at about 7. And so we were there in the middle of the night, and I was standing all alone in front of the Mona Lisa. I mean, all alone.
Right.
And, you know, they're filming, and I had sort of wandered off, and I turn around, and an albino monk goes running by. I think, this is just surreal.
Right.
You know? And they're just, you know, moments like that throughout an entire film process where your imagination suddenly is there in front of you in 3D, at least some approximation of it.
I know.
It was a lot of fun.
When you wrote the series, did you ever think, you know, as Tom Hanks as that? Like, if this ever became a movie, I would love so-and-so to play this part or this person to play that part, or did you never look that far?
You know, I didn't look that far because I wrote 3 books that failed. I shouldn't say they failed. They sold dozens of copies. thanks to my mother.
Family and friends.
Digital Fortress.
You know, so when The Da Vinci Code came out, I had had very little success, and I just wanted to sell a couple books. I wasn't thinking about a movie.
Right.
Of course, you know, when they... it was funny because I decided when the book was a hit, I said, I'm going to write this character for a while. I don't want to make movies yet. I want to let the character sort of live in the world of books, and then someday I'll make movies.
Right.
But then when I had a chance to work with Ron Howard and Tom Hanks, it was just like, why would I ever say no? You know, two incredibly talented people. And I will tell you, they are exactly as you would hope they are. You've probably met them yourself. Just humble, hardworking, just great people.
Well, you know what? I was talking with someone about this last night, and I'm sure you agree, that, you know, strip away any of the fame stuff, which is not real, and Tom Hanks and Ron Howard and yourself, right? You have passion for what you do, and everybody's the same. They're just enjoying their passion, and when the fame stuff aside, they're normal people, and you kind of, once you get to work with them, I'm sure you see them that way, and you get along just great, I would imagine, right?
Exactly, and you guys have that experience, you know, here on the Seacoast. You know, you guys are local celebrities, and you go out and people are stunned when they meet you and say, like, wait a minute, these are nice, normal people.
I wouldn't draw that comparison, but I mean, yes, I understand what
you're
saying.
I agree with him.
Dan Brown is on the phone with us, brand new book, Origin, coming out here this week, and I was going to ask about, Dan, when you're writing the books, and I always wonder how you keep everything... How do you keep everything arranged, organized in your head? I mean, do you physically, when you're writing the book, are you putting post-it notes up on a board of character development? I know it's kind of a weird technical question, but I've always wondered how authors do that.
Yeah.
Especially
when
there's so many
details. If anybody walked into my study while I was writing a book, they would say, this is the lair of a serial killer.
Right.
You know, there's the whole thing, the wall with the sticky notes and the strings and the piles and piles of paper and the, you know, strange books opened with notes in the sides. So I don't have a great memory, and so I have to create a lot of paraphernalia to actually keep all of these plots straight.
Right, because I don't remember if Robert Langdon was doing this in this scene. Oh, he cut his hand back then. I got him to include that. All those kind of details are hard to keep track of. Dan Brown on the phone. This is Laura. I'm thrilled beyond thrilled.
I know.
Thank you so much. Go ahead, Rob.
I thought you guys were going to be disappointed. I really did. When I tuned in and heard you talking about Trump and OJ.
Yeah.
This is going to be such a downer for these folks, and you're kind even to talk to me.
Yeah. But you know what? We talk so little politics. We're much more interested in this. Go ahead, Roadkill.
Dan, do you ever hear from fans that go, I wish you hadn't, you know, killed that person. I wish you hadn't done that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I usually hear from fans that say, why did you say bad things about my Lord and Savior? and I have to explain, like, hey, look, these are books. They ask hypothetical questions that make us talk about our beliefs, you know, and a lot of them are you know, related to religion. And, you know, it's all wonderful when people are having a dialogue. And if people disagree with some of the things I've said in these books, that's fine. They're going to go out and argue their case, and that's terrific.
It's like leaving a movie like an open-ended movie that you discuss on the way home. That's the way when I read The Da Vinci Code, we had so many great conversations about that, and you know, and then with Angels and Demons. And so I love it, and I love that about books. You were talking about standing in front of the Mona Lisa. So you're all alone there, and I always wonder, in some of the places that you filmed, some of the historical places that you filmed, many of them ever kind of creeped you out, because some of them can be pretty haunting and scary looking anyway.
Oh, sure. I mean, you know, there's a scene in this new book that's set in a crypt underneath Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, if you don't know the cathedral, it's the strangest Catholic cathedral in the world. It looks like a sandcastle. It's got giant snails and salamanders crawling up the spires.
Oh, right.
That crypt is the largest underground crypt possibly in the world, and it is unusual. There have been a lot of strange places.
When you're standing in front of the Mona Lisa, do you ever think about just doing a quick selfie? Like, you know, hey, this is...
You must have.
I may have done exactly that.
Exactly. Yes. Kelly Brown, go ahead.
Following up on Roadkill's earlier question about when you were writing about Robert Langdon, now that Tom Hanks has played him in a couple of movies, do you, when you're writing, picture Robert Langdon as Tom Hanks?
Oh, you know, that's a cool question. The answer's no. I mean, I love Tom. And I think he's, you know, one of the greatest living actors. He's unbelievable, and I'm so honored that he played this character. But, you know, I also have written these books for a long time. I spent a lot of time in the pages and less time on the set. And so I right from the beginning, have had a picture of Robert Langdon. And you know, while it's not Tom Hanks, you know, nobody who read the book at first pictured Tom Hanks, and now we do. And that's... that's the nature of books to movies.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, when it first came out, there were some people going, what, Robert? It's funny, because I don't know how I pictured Robert Langdon. I had an image in my head, but I can't remember it now. I think of it kind of as Tom. I'm really looking forward to the new book. And you have to admit, I mean, nothing prepared, okay? Nothing prepared
so
for this.
So, Dan, they had asked me all week, like, and even yesterday, Greg goes, is there anything I need to know or prepare for this? If we have this caller on, this guest on, am I going to have questions for them?
Because
he usually preps.
Dan is a serious author, right? He writes about serious things. I'm a huge fan, obviously, we've said that. But I wanted him to know that we would respect that if he came on the show, because, yeah, we do talk about things, certainly, that, you know, maybe aren't fit for everybody. But we can go, you know, in all these different directions. We have that, and I wanted to impress that upon him. So I hope that without
I think you've done fine. Listeners are emailing in saying you can hear the excitement in your voice. They're so happy.
I think we kept it pretty, you know, good too. Dan, would you come back on the show at some point? I mean, have we proven to you that we can be, you know, 10 years, that we can be okay to talk to?
You know what? We'll make a date. 10 years from today, I'll be back.
I have played the Greg, this is Dan Brown. I cannot, I'd love to, but I played that cut a million times over the years.
Now we have real Dan Brown.
The thing is when it comes to books, right, and we talked about books, I think it was last week, they're companions, you know? Yeah, like, I'm not a guy that sits down and reads a book in 2 days, and I don't do it on purpose because I want to spend time with it. And your books, when you read one of your books, when it's over, I feel like a relationship is over. But that's
well, Greg, we're now bound for life.
I know. It's the great thing about books. And also, I'll end with this. Any time that we've reached out for Dan and asked him to help with, like, Lend a Helping Hand, you and your wife have been so wonderful. I want to thank you for that very, very much, because you help improve the lives of people around you in New Hampshire and in New England. So thank you for all of our help.
Thank you to all of you guys for everything you do. Quite impactful.
You know, so, look, I can't, now I owe
Laura.
He
can't stop smiling.
Oh, my gosh.
And Susan is great. She, you know, this morning she sent me props from the Da Vinci Code pictures. She's like, look at these props, because we have been talking about props for movies.
I'll have her send you a picture of the Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa that hung in the Louvre.
Wow.
It's crazy. Well, Dan, thank you very much. I will be in line to buy the book coming out this week, Origin, and thank you very much for coming on. It's really a great surprise for me and for everybody else that's listening. It's great to talk to you. And you are
pleasure
welcome
to talk to you guys.
Anytime, Dan.
All right.
Can I come live with you?
Okay. You're getting a little creepy.
No? Okay, we got to shut it down now. We got to shut it down. Thank you very much, Dan. Have
Thanks,
a great
Dan.
Day. Thank you so
talk
much.
To you
wow. Yeah. Talk to me soon. You hear that? Talk to me soon.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Yeah.
In 10 years.
Whew. Oh, I was so mad at you 2 weeks ago when you're like, Laura, I did it. I emailed his people. I was right away.
At least he told you. What if he didn't tell you?
Wow. Well, you know, I reached out, you know.
If he didn't tell me, I would have been really.
And because I said, the book's coming out. I'll make the it's my mandatory run. Say, hey, you know, could you think, you know? And I said, I get it. I totally understand. He's been so great through the years. You know, if he can, he can't. And I sent it. And she said, I'll check. And that's the last I heard. And I don't bug him. I know he's local. I know. I've met him and seen him. I don't bug him, you know?
Yeah, the...
Do you bug him?
No.
He doesn't bug him.
How did you do it?
you just go on the website and just ask.
No, barely. Right, right.
No, it was funny. When I wrote to her, I said, just so you know, Greg's going to reach out. And she wrote, Greg did reach out. We'll make sure that doesn't happen.
That's too funny.
That's
too funny.
That's awesome.
Good. I'm so excited. Well, thank you very much. That was very nice. What a great surprise. Whew. And I didn't want him to think that, you know, like, look, some people have an image of our show. If you listen to our show for an extended period of time, you know we cover a lot of stuff. Serious stuff, joking around stuff,
boobs,
that kind of thing. Yeah, but we can be serious.
But Dan is local
that.
And he listens.
I know.
And it's not him saying it's...
No, I get it. I get it. I totally understand. But that was, what a surprise. You made my month. That
awesome.
Was awesome. Thank you so much. All right. I have to towel off. So we will
Let's
be
get back
to
the fart jokes.
All right.
Live around the world on iHeartRadio.
It went up to the cloud.
And you can't get it down from the cloud.